Dear congregation, let us turn to the Word of God now for our instruction. We turn to the Psalm 72. The Psalm 72. This is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His Word. May the Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His Word and to be doers of His Word. A Psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations, he shall come down like rain upon mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also. And him that hath no helper, he shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name for ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Amen. This is the word of Almighty God, his Spirit-inspired, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. And may the Lord grant his own blessing upon the public reading and then the preaching, the ministry, the exposition of his most holy word, all to the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our never-dying souls. Dear congregation, turning your prayerful attention once again to the 72nd Psalm, which I read in your hearing a little earlier on, and once again seeking the Lord's guidance and enabling this evening, I take for my text the words found in the 17th verse of the 72nd Psalm, the verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Psalm 72 and the verse 17. Congregation, these are one of these rare perfumed verses of Holy Scripture that are so sublime that we cannot really begin to plummet the depths of all that is before us. We cannot begin to survey the breadth, the length, the height of God's love toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I pray that the Lord might help us tonight. I feel like a swallow skimming across a vast ocean of God's glory, And of course, a swallow cannot survey God's glory in just an instance. I can only give you faint glimpses of the depths of God's love toward hell-deserving sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only begin to scan the horizon of God's grace here tonight, but I pray that He might help us to do so and that we might glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we come to this verse in itself, let me just give you a little background concerning the psalm. Let me set before you the historical setting of this psalm. You notice it is before the Psalm 71, also a psalm of David. We know that this is a psalm of David because it is for Solomon. It is the king's son, you'll notice in the verse 1. It is for Solomon. The psalm's context is exactly that. It is written by David. And in the Psalm 71, the period of David's life is that he is now nearing the end of his earthly pilgrimage here. The Lord has been his help, his buckler, his shield, his strength. But many have encompassed David around, even his own son, Adonijah. And you'll notice in the verse 9, David here is an old man in the Psalm 71, and enemies have compassed him about. And he says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him." This was David's situation as he was an old gray-haired man. And so the Psalm 71 and Psalm 72 really fits together with 1 Kings in the chapter 1, when David was very old and frail, gray-haired, and as I said a moment ago, his son Adonijah sought to take the throne from David. Remember how he had led a great number of men when David was ill. Well, he had two sons that tried to overthrow him. Adonijah was the son that was younger than Absalom, and they both tried to usurp him. The first was Absalom. It was a time when he tried to win the hearts of people. And now this other man is trying to do so, Adonijah. But he wasn't the rightful successor, Solomon was. In 1 Kings 1:5 we read, "Then Adonijah exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him." However, in the providence of God, word was sent forth to King David, and his loyal servant stood by him, and the plan was thwarted, and David ordered the priests to anoint Solomon at Gihon as king. And really, Psalm 72 is believed to be in that context. It follows immediately after Psalm 71, and here David is praying for Solomon. And you'll notice that this psalm is a prayer. We read a psalm for Solomon, but right at the end, when we read the verse 18, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." And then it concludes, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." So it is a psalm, it is inspired, it is a prayer of David. But let me say that this psalm is not essentially about David's son Solomon. Certainly the first verses, because he is petitioning God for something very important in Solomon's life. You notice it is for David's son, and he says in the verse 1, "Give the king thy judgments." Now what does David mean when he says, "Give the king thy judgments"? Well, we know this word in the Hebrew here, translated judgments, really means deliverances. When we think of the book of Judges, every time the people of God sinned, he brought an enemy against the people of God so that they would turn back to God. And he raised up a judge. He raised up a deliverer. And so this word, "Give the king thy judgments," means give the king deliverances. He's praying for his son, for the future of Israel, and for his son the great king who is going to be the king, Solomon, give him, Lord, deliverances. And then you notice something else. He prays this too. And thy righteousness. He says, give the king thy righteousness. He's praying and asking God to give his son, Solomon, God's righteousness. And really, this is the great need, isn't it? For every Christian. In fact, the Bible tells us that we have no righteousness of our own. We are sinners, we are guilty before God, and we have no righteousness. This was David's great need, a righteousness before God. This is my great need. This is your great need, for we have no righteousness. And God has promised in his word to give a righteousness to his people who have none, who are but sinners. And so this is the great cry, thy righteousness, God's righteousness. In Jeremiah 23 and the verse 6, there is that wonderful prophecy given by the prophet Jeremiah. And he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 23, 6, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And this is the great news, isn't it, surely, of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world as the second Adam. Adam has failed, and all from Adam have failed, and come short of God's glory and his standards. And we have no righteousness before God. God declares that time and time again in his word. But one would eventually come into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God would come. God would be manifest in the flesh. God would become man. This is the important thing that so many people miss at this time of the year. Why Jesus Christ would come into the world. He came into the world as a man, to earn a righteousness under God's law, Galatians 4:4, to give God's people a righteousness. And what here David is praying for his son, give the king, my son, thy righteousness, the righteousness of God, thy righteousness. This is the great need of every sinner. It was the great need, wasn't it, of David? And you'll notice the subject and predicates that follow here. The subject is Christ. In the verse 2, he... the righteousness is Christ. He, not Solomon. And you'll notice throughout this psalm, this simply cannot be Solomon. It cannot be. And we'll go through some of these things in a minute. Here he's speaking about Christ, the great king, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who David, who has been given to see by the Spirit of God, the one not only who Solomon would need, but who every sinner needs, if he is ever to stand before a holy God. In the verse 2 we read, he, and this is again concerning the Lord's righteousness, which is Christ, shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. And again, that cannot be Solomon, because he was not a man of war. And this is speaking about spiritual things. And you notice the verse 5. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Again, this simply cannot be Solomon, who David is speaking about here. As long as the sun and the moon endure. And again in the verse 17, his name shall endure forever. Well, Solomon only reigned, we know, in 1 Kings 11:42 for 40 years. So this simply cannot mean Solomon. You notice in the verse 6, David here declares that this will be in the future. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days, you see, this is future, verse 7, shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Oh, dear friends, these things are not only in the distance, but they speak to eternity. And they speak to an everlasting kingdom. the kingdom of David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus. And notice in the verse 8, the very expanse of this kingdom. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Now, Solomon, it's certainly true, Solomon had a vast kingdom, but it certainly wasn't to the ends of the earth. And it didn't endure from age to age. But this is speaking, I say, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Solomon is really being directed to the Lord Jesus. And this is not only for Solomon's benefit, but for those who would read this and believe it, that we need a righteousness, the verse 1. We need the Lord's righteousness, and we need His judgments, we need His deliverances in life. We not only need Him in this life as our Lord to guide us through this life, but we need Him to stand on that great awful day before Almighty God. We need His righteousness. He is David's greatest son. Remember in Matthew 12, the verse 42, the Lord Jesus said to the company of people that were about Him, what did He say? And a greater than Solomon is here. He was not ashamed, was He, to say that He was greater than Solomon. Friend, these things speak to spiritual matters, an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. And as I said this morning, remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the Lord Jesus Christ's death. They were very downcast. They'd heard that the Savior had been put to death and possibly there. And they were very downcast. And the Lord Jesus Christ drew near them. And He began to expound the things in the Scripture concerning Himself. That the Son of God should die. And that He should be raised up. Should not these things be fulfilled? Yes, and I have no doubt that He would have expounded Himself as the great King. And that's who sinners need to see, if they're ever to be saved. That righteousness comes through Him, the Lord, our righteousness. So really, that's just an introduction to our text in the verse 17 this evening. And there are really three thoughts that run through this particular verse. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. And again, I reiterate, that simply cannot refer to Solomon. Solomon, as you know, was a great king, but oh, so much did he fall. There was a time, certainly when you read in Ecclesiastes, where it seems that men wouldn't listen to the old king now. But here it is really speaking to Christ. So what are the three things that we notice in this verse? First of all, we're going to behold His name. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And then second, the great blessing. The great blessing which He imparts, and men shall be blessed in Him. And then thirdly, the praise and the honor that is due unto the Lord Jesus. All nations shall call Him blessed. Not just Israel, but all nations. From every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. So firstly this evening, behold His name. And I want to address both believer and unbeliever here tonight. And really to behold Him, we have to examine what the Scriptures have to say concerning the Lord Jesus. And we have to see through the eyes of faith. May God grant faith to see the Lord Jesus and to behold His name. So let's think for a moment about Solomon. Could this be Solomon? Well, no, it's not. Solomon's name has indeed been around. And what is he remembered for? Well, he is remembered for his wisdom, the wisdom which God gave him. He's remembered for his wealth, but he's also remembered for his great sin, isn't he? We think of the adultery, we think of the many women and the false gods that he went after, but thank the Lord, it seems to me from the Scriptures that he came back to the Lord, and he's certainly no great example, and we're not blessed by Solomon. Solomon fell into great sin, and so often great men fall, don't they? We have no trust in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in men, the psalmist tells us. But his name, really, one's name is their character. His name shall endure forever. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, "Father, I have manifested thy name to those who thou hast given me." The Lord Jesus Christ, throughout his life, he indeed displayed the Father. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Pleased God that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly displayed the character, the name of God to all men. He was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sinners. And a good name, it's hard to maintain. It's easy to lose a good name, isn't it? As Solomon did. Good name is hard to maintain, but the Lord Jesus, you can search his life. You can search everything about him, and there's no flaw in him. He is altogether spotless, isn't he? He's altogether lovely. Oh, my unbelieving friend, don't be ever critical of the Lord Jesus. You shall be judged by your words and your thoughts of him. So many people criticize the Lord Jesus, but they've never read a page of the Bible. They've never read the scriptures. And they take his name upon their lips and they use his name as a curse word. Oh, he is God the Son, and he is perfect in every way. His name shall endure forever. In fact, if you think about it, this prophecy is being fulfilled even right now. The year 2018, we're approaching. Isn't it being fulfilled? Has not the name of the Lord Jesus Christ endured, even up to the age in which we live? Has his kingdom not continued? Yes, it is continued. I'll tell you why, because his kingdom is above. When Christians die, they go to their home. This world is not our home, friends. Heaven is our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the world one day will be shocked when they see the vast multitude of God's people gathered together. Kingdoms may come and go, but the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom is forever and forever. And one day this world will see it all. When all the damned stand before him on the one side, all the goats, and they see the sheep, they will see his kingdom. And they will behold the one who they mocked. And they will behold an innumerable company of people. And his name will be the same. Holy, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, Christ. And I tell you what, I know this, as long as he takes to come, however long it might be till the Lord Jesus Christ comes, his name will endure. I'm confident of this one thing, that there is nothing in this Word of God, there is nothing that will ever expose him to be as one like unto us, a sinner. He is utterly separate from us. People will never be able to dig up any dirt on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is not merely some figure in time of one who would be famous, but he is the I Am. Remember, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am." His name is past. He always has been. There never was a time when he was not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he is the unchanging one. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will always be the same. His name is the Lord, our righteousness. Yahweh, the self-existent God, the creator and sustainer of this world. This world and this universe was made by him. And he will judge the whole earth. And he has a vast company of people. And dear friends, he has kept his name, because his name is his honor. Despite what men say, he will have a name that is untarnished, unsullied. It's a name that is without flaw. In every generation, there will be those that will reverence him, because they know all about him. But in every generation, there will be those that blaspheme him. This is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. His name has withstood the hatefulness of this world. His name has withstood the despising, unbelieving, ungodly, defying people of this world. But his name remains impeccable. Unlike, I suppose, all the false gods and the idols of this world. Why? Because he is God the Son. This is why it remains. And he is God in every way. What a claim. Father, I have manifested thy name. How wonderful it must have been to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But how wonderful it will be to be in his presence forever. In that everlasting, eternal day, his name shall endure forever. As long, not only as the sun shall endure, and that's here speaking with concern to time, space, and history, but his name shall endure into all eternity. Heaven cannot exist without him. Hell will not exist without him. He creates heaven and hell, and he will endure not only as long as the sun, and we know God will create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and we don't know what it's going to be like, but we know it will be glorious, and we know that that is an eternal kingdom. But here, this term, his name shall endure forever. The word here, continue, can also mean to propagate, and that is to expand. And I suppose God's children, are they not his seed? Will his seed not also continue? As long as he is, he has a people. He is the second Adam. And his people will continue. Because I live, ye shall live also. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus. Now, secondly, I want you to notice the great blessing. And men shall be blessed in him. Now there's a verse. And men shall be blessed in him. Now let me say this first of all, as I address the unbelieving here. You come into this world as we do, cursed. That's the state of things. Man by nature is not blessed. The Bible says we are by nature children of wrath. We come into this world cursed, abandoned as it were, because of our sin. Our sins, the Bible says, have made a separation between us and our God, that he will not hear us. We come into this world cursed because we have a bad heart as well as a bad record, and we will not seek after God. But in him, men shall be blessed. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, men are cursed. And they will remain on a cursed road to hell. Job, he longed for this man. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew that there was a Redeemer. And he said he knew that he would see him. And at last he shall see him in his own flesh. And though his body should see corruption, he said this, and my flesh, I know I shall see God. But Job didn't know how he would be saved. It was not yet revealed to him. This is why he said in Job 9:32, he's saying this about God, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us. In Job's time, certainly if this is how he's thinking, there was nobody who would go between God and man to bring peace. And this is what a daysman does. He brings peace between God and man. There was no go-between. Job understood that he was a sinner. Job understood that he had a Redeemer, but he didn't know how God was going to reconcile him, a holy God, to a sinner. How can a man be just before God? Job said, I don't know. But here is the daysman. Men shall be blessed in him. Why? Because he comes as man, but God, fully God and fully man, and he, as the daysman, takes the punishment for his people's sins. This is the great work of the Redeemer. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to suffer and to die and to bear that almighty wrath of God that would be due unto his people. And he would bear that in his body, but also the way in which the Lord draws people. You see, because there's another issue. Man has a heart that is enmity with God. And remember what the Lord said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And Christ, by his Spirit, what he does is he draws people. He draws people to himself and to the Father. And so he not only makes peace by the blood of his cross, but he draws sinners to himself. He gives them a new heart with new desires. Because sinners have this contention with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It cannot be subject to God. And so Christ draws the sinner and he makes them willing in the day of his power. And he shows them, he shows his people that he died for their sin and he joins them together. That's his work. We would not come to the Father but by the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ and he draws sinners to himself. He is the daysman. He's the one that brings the two parties together, the two parties that are at contention one with another. Christ brings them together. He makes peace. While we were yet without strength, Paul says, Christ died for the ungodly. But in due time, he draws us by his Spirit to himself, to our God. And he shows us what he's done. And we're blessed in him. We're forever blessed in him. Because he removes the curse. He removes the penalty of the law that was against us. There on the cross at Calvary, he bore the punishment of his people. In those few hours that he bore that agony, he was bearing an eternity of wrath that would have been poured out upon God's people. And he cried at the end of it all, "It is finished." And so having made peace, as the apostle tells us, by the blood of his cross, there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they are blessed in him. This is the Lord, our Savior. His name shall endure forever. And men shall be blessed in him. We're eternally blessed. We're blessed in him now. What a life it is to have Christ's Spirit in us. When he saves us, he doesn't just draw us to himself, but he comes to live in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And we're blessed in him. Notice the little phrase there, "in him." We think so often, don't we, in the New Testament of that phrase, "in Christ." Remember what he said, "If you abide in me and I in you, you shall bear much fruit." We can do nothing, he said, without him. We're in him. And men shall be blessed in him. He is the second Adam. Adam plunged his entire race into a curse. All in Adam die. But all in Christ shall be made alive. Not only made alive here now. Remember what he said, "I am come that they may have life." Here, now. That we might be set at liberty from sin. And the power and the bondage of sin. But we too might have everlasting life. And men shall be blessed in him. Blessed in him. When were they in him? That's the great question. I'll tell you when they were in him. The Bible says before the world began. They didn't realize it. 2 Timothy 1:9, "God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began." Before God ever created this world, the apostle tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, we were predestined that we should receive the adoption. And the verse 14, by the purchased possession of Jesus Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? Before the world began. But we only begin to experience that blessing when we're born again, when we're drawn by his Spirit and God convicts us of our sin and shows us our need of the Lord Jesus. That's when we begin to experience the blessing of Christ. Until then, we're blind. and men shall be blessed in him, everlastingly blessed, not just blessed in this life, but blessed forever. All that is in heaven is Christ's, and all that is Christ's is mine and God's people. And Paul adds, and Christ is God's, blessed in him. We're blessed with his righteousness. Our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. No more shall God remember our transgressions. And then God, he clothes his people with the robe of righteousness of his Son, and he places it upon them forever and forever. And they are made to be in a far higher state than Adam would ever experience. I tell you this, study Augustine's Four States of Men. Never possible to sin. Adam was made non posse peccare and posse peccare, able to sin and not able to sin. But Adam, we will be far higher than him. We shall be in Christ. Never possible to sin. Remember what he said? The prince of the power of the air cometh, but hath nothing in me. There was no latent sin. There was nothing in Christ that you could ever induce him to sin. It is his and was his perpetual desire to always do that which pleaseth the Father. And that will be our desire when we're in heaven. And men shall be blessed in him. Praise God, one day when we leave this mortal body, we shall be, our spirits taken up to heaven. And one day when the Son of God shall come at the trump of God and the shout of the archangel, our mortal body shall rise to life immortality. And we shall have a glorious body, and we shall be like him. And John says, and we shall see him, for we shall be as he is, without sin. What a glorious day that will be. And men shall be blessed in him, eternally and everlastingly blessed. It's divine favor. Now, why has God done this? Is it because there's anything in us that warrants such kindness? No. Have we ever done anything? No. It is because God says he delighteth in mercy. Micah 7 and verse 18. He delighteth to show mercy. It is the one attribute, dear friends, that God delights in above all. One of his attributes that he delights in most, he delighteth in mercy. He is the mercy which God has provided for sinners. Just as it is the glory of man to forgive sins and pass over transgression, so it is the glory of God to show mercy on some. And friends, this is not what sinners want, sadly, in this world. You speak to sinners about the gospel, and they don't want this. The Lord Jesus said, men will not come to me, the light, because they love their darkness. And this is the true state, but it's a wonderful thing. A sinner is a precious thing in the sight of God, one who is awakened to their sin. Well, this is the mercy of God. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Such love, and men shall be blessed in him. Who could conceive it that God would become man? Who could ever conceive it? The religions of this world would never be able to even imagine that this would be possible. But thank the Lord, it is possible. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the only way God could save sinners. You see, only God can satisfy God. Only God can do it. Coming under his own law, living that righteous life, and then dying the death that none of us could ever bear. None of us could bear. But this is the good news, dear friends. And so there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I would say to anybody here tonight, firstly, the Lord needs to open your eyes to these things. And I adjure you by heaven and earth, there is no other way you could be justified before a holy God. It must be through Christ, and men shall be blessed in Him. You won't be blessed another way. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. He is the one who the Lord spoke about in Genesis 3 and the verse 15. Blessed in Him, not only with newness of life, but everlasting life. This is the glory of God. How, and you can speak to a Christian, dear friends, how God has blessed the child of God since the day he became a Christian. Christian doesn't look back with any regret. I've never met a Christian that has ever regretted believing on Christ. Never. And I wouldn't exchange one day of knowing Christ with a million years living here as the richest man on earth. Because you know, the day you die as the poorest man on earth. Because you leave this world with nothing. And you stand before God as a bankrupt sinner forever and forever. But in Him, men shall be blessed. In Jesus Christ, only God can truly bless. He is the Lord God, a sun and a shield. And no good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. None. You speak to any child of God, he wouldn't give up what he has in Christ. We're blessed. Blessed to have His Spirit in our hearts. He's so gentle. David cried, "Thy gentleness has made me great." Though so often we grieve our Lord and our God, He's so gentle with us. So patient. Christians, think of how kind God has been to you this year. How merciful, how long-suffering, how patient. The Lord of mercies, the God of all grace. If God spared not His only begotten Son, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things? Men are blessed in Him. Forever and forever. Spiritual blessings. We could go on and on. But I lastly want to conclude with this. It's so important, the praise and the honor due unto Christ. All nations shall call Him blessed. Not just the Jews. Sadly, many rejected Him. But all nations shall call Him blessed. Now, what is David, by the Spirit of God, getting at? Well, this one is blessed. He is the blessed of the Father. He has been sent by the Father, and he is blessed because he has a people so vast. And glory and honor and praise shall be unto his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7, the verse 9, we read this, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. In Him men shall be blessed, and His name men shall call Him blessed." He is the blessed one. He is the anointed one of God. And you notice there in the verse 18, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." How wonderful is the Lord Jesus. In fact, that is one of the names that He has given in Isaiah 9:6. "And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who makes peace for His people, God who only doeth wondrous things." Who could conceive of this plan of eternal and everlasting salvation but God? Behold the love of God in Jesus Christ, friends. What are you moved by at this time of year? I hope it's not all the paraphernalia and tinsel of this town, but that God has done something so amazing for sinners. The God of Israel, who doeth only wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the earth be filled. And I take you back to the verse 1, the prayer for Solomon, that Solomon would receive this one's righteousness. And that's what sinners need. That's what you need tonight. Give the king thy judgments or deliverances, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. And that's what you need. And this one, the great king, the Lord Jesus, is the one, the only one that has righteousness before God. And that is what he gives as a free gift to all that believe upon him. And the apostle says it is by faith that we receive the righteousness of Christ. May God be pleased to bestow that gift. It is not mine to bestow. I cannot offer you salvation. It is the gift of God, received by faith. Amen.